Hello and welcome to On and Off the Pitch. I hope you're well. Wherever you are, please keep your hands and feet to yourself. This is a friendly encounter reviewing the latest round of games in the Barclays Women's Championship, the WSL. No, the Conti Cup. Oh, no, the Punch and Judy show. Who knows? We'll talk about a number of things and possibly, no, not possibly, we will mention inappropriate relationships between managers and players. I mean, it does happen. So let's get into the last round of games for the Barclays Women's Championship, which were fantastic, absolutely fantastic. I went to watch London City Lionesses take on Sheffield United, and we're not going to start with that. We're going to start with the big hitters that are pushing to be promoted and get to the promised land that is the WSL. We've got to start with the team that scored five goals. Five big goals away from home. Crystal Palace on the road playing against mighty Durham. Durham would only score one goal in this fixture, but Crystal Palace with five, Blanchard with two, Sharp, Hughes, and Hopcroft. This team is a well-assembled, well-drilled footballing unit. They are by far, probably one of the most complete teams in the league in terms of performance, right across the back line, midfield, and forward area. It would be really good to see Crystal Palace be promoted, but you know, and they have it in their hands. They have played a game less than the table topper Sunderland, but their goal difference is huge considering the mighty win they had against Durham in the early part of this season. So to go away to Durham and win by 5-1 is a testament to the character of the players, the calmness of the players as well, because they knew how important this fixture was for them. But also the management staff who have come in and taken control of a group of players who always had the ability and brought in new players as well. Great mix in the midfield, considering some of the quality of players that they let go in the summer as well. So really, really massive win for Crystal Palace in their fight and pursuit of being promoted to the WSL. And you've got to tip your hats to them if they win all their games, and it is really if they win all of their games, they go up. But there's still some twists and turns to play before that happens. But Crystal Palace fans will be happy, that the head coach definitely will be happy. And who knows what will happen? You know, they've got a very important fixture coming up. I believe it's against Birmingham. So we'll see what happens there. Really, really important. But good stuff from them. Elsewhere at the table toppers, they went again playing away from home. Sunderland, who, you know, probably had a fixture where they didn't think they should have dropped points, and it didn't go their way. Watford, they were up against traveling down south, and Watford, who are on a really kind of bad run, really, which is why they're, you know, holding up the rest of the league from their very deep and dark position down at the bottom. Watford would concede three goals in the second half. Despite their best efforts, and they've been up against it, Watford, in terms of the management not necessarily being on board when they need it to be. I think there's changes in the head coach. I think the head coach has moved on to the men's first team to be assistant there, so they're not getting the support there. Training part time in the evening is not great, but in all things considered, in this league, if you're not able to put in everything that you need to stay even in the middle of the league, it's going to be difficult against teams that are trying to be promoted. So for Sunderland, Adjupi with the goal, and Scar, who is an absolute powerhouse going forward for Sunderland, they have a good lineup in their team. Fenton, who I thought when they were playing down at London City Lionesses, Sunderland didn't have their best game away, and Fenton didn't have her best game, and I'm sure this fixture would have seen her make up for that. Katie Kitchen as well, a good acquisition for Sunderland, but all round for Sunderland. It's a dream season, really, and they're doing everything they can to be promoted. They're not dropping off. They're at the top because of the number of games they played. It's the pressure is on for the other teams like Crystal Palace and Birmingham and Southampton to try and maintain the momentum that they have to stay close to Sunderland and surpass them when the opportunity and if the opportunity arises. So two big wins this weekend for teams that are at the top, which makes it all the more interesting. I've already mentioned Crystal Palace, but for Sunderland to know that Crystal Palace were already racking up the goals away from home, I think they probably had a really, I'll say, stern team talk from the head coach, but I'm sure words were expressed in terms of what they needed to do on the pitch. They went out and delivered. So Sunderland top by games played, Crystal Palace on their heels, and I do say on their heels, literally on their heels, close by. It's going to be interesting running over the next few games to see where those teams end up and who actually takes the spoils and says goodbye to the Barclays Women's Championship for a short period. I'm joking. Yeah, whoever goes up, you always wish them well. Elsewhere, another team that probably really regrets not getting all the points that they had in their last home fixture. And this is Charlton. Charlton were at home. They suffered a late dramatic defeat against their visiting team, London City Lionesses. The last time they're at home again, this time they're playing Birmingham City. Birmingham, who are one of the teams that are tipped to be the challengers at the very beginning, and they're in fifth place at the moment. We'll talk about the league lineup, but Charlton had a really tough game, and they score three goals to Birmingham's one. Moya, Ayisi, and Longhurst. This game will have kind of restored some of the pride I think the Charlton players felt they'd missed in the last fixture, I'm sure, because they wouldn't have been happy with the performance or the result last time round. Big win at home against a really tough opponent who are well equipped in terms of personnel. And like I've said, many individuals, fans, and pundits have said that Birmingham probably would have been the ones to have been top of the pile at the moment, but they're not. So Charlton are still and there or thereabouts on 36 points, not just behind Southampton. So a massive win for Charlton, and really pleased for the players there. And again, it makes it all interesting. You're probably wondering why I'm not going to the game of London City Lionesses, and there's a reason why I'm not going to them straight away, even though I went to watch them play. I need to spend a bit of time talking and thinking as well, because I had thoughts about that game. And I'm ruminating. Southampton at home, still in the pack. Two goals to their visitors, one goal. Lewis, who were down at the bottom as well. Thompson in the first half, first 20 minutes there, and Lewis getting one just before half time. The game, in terms of score, would stay like that. Southampton are there and thereabouts. They're not too far behind the top two, but they've played a game more than Crystal Palace, who are in second place, so it's a bit of a tough one for them. Things can change, you know. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but you never know. You never know. It may not go their way. Big win on the road. I've gone smiling reading this one. Reading, former WSL, not having a good season in the Championship, won. Blackburn Rovers 4, Hornby, Colwyn Shepherd. I mean, wow, gonna be good stuff. Head coach is doing a great job there, considering they lost goal scoring prowess, Saffron Jordan, who had gone away because working for the NHS, doing a fantastic job for people, helping those who need help. In terms of her former teammates, they're doing okay with that win away. 4-1. Absolutely massive for them at this time of the season. It's always good. You know, because Blackburn are a team that not too many people pay much attention to, really, because they're there and thereabouts, but they are a good footballing unit, and they've got one of the best, if not the best, centre back in the league, in my humble opinion. my humble opinion. So we go to London City Lionesses, right? Who are at home to Sheffield United. Both teams entered into this fray, this Easter Sunday game on good form. Previous victories for both Sheffield United with a hefty haul of 5 goals. London City Lionesses, I mentioned, with a dramatic late winner on the road against Charlton. Mid-table currently, but in terms of form up until that point, very different. I would say that London City Lionesses haven't had the best season, generally. In terms of the game itself, early probing for both teams, interesting conversation between players on the pitch. Definitely what I caught attention to, players questioning the assistant referee about offside when players were offside. The attacking player for London City Lionesses are questioning the assistant referee, but I was onside. It was interesting to hear that, and getting assistance from those in the stand as well, but claiming clear offside. And I think within the first 20 minutes or 25 minutes, LCL had quite a few offside calls, which was probably really frustrating to see and hear from for their head coach. So early chances for Sheffield following a bit of head tennis. But a strike on goal would be blocked. But in terms of London City Lionesses, the old demon reappeared. The old demon that is called the back pass to the goalkeeper, unnecessarily passing back, unnecessarily. So, really and truthfully, this game, I mean, I've made some notes and it's a game that you think, my gosh, in the second half, not much can change from what you saw in the first half. That's and this is that this is just coming to me now. Sheffield United on the road, as the opposing team, had everything that you'd want to see in a football team. They were comfortable on the ball. They knew what their positions were in terms of how they would support one another. Every player seemed comfortable using either foot, going past players, linking up play, building up play from the back line, through the middle, up forward. It was a joy to see. Some of the footballing movement from them was absolutely fantastic, and on reflection, they're probably thinking they should have scored more than the 2 goals that they did. They probably could have scored a whole lot more in the first half. There were moments of ping pong defending, but what I would say in terms of, and the ping pong defending definitely would be from London City Lionesses. I don't know whether the pressure of being at home was too much following the win last week on the road. Sheffield United definitely displayed cool heads when under pressure, especially in the middle of the park and moving it forward really quickly. And Sheffield United, I think they've scored quite a few goals from set pieces. So their corner count was already racking up in the first half and continued to do so in the second half. There was last ditch clearances from London City Lionesses within the first 15 minutes. Really, really kind of dominant and professional and proficient display from Sheffield United. And for London City Lionesses, whose early game plan seemed to be play the ball over to the two quick players up front, which would be Boya Lorca and Satchel, the midfield missing in action, really. I don't think the midfield really put any kind of mark on the game from London City Lionesses' point of view. They didn't win many battles that were significant, that would actually put the forward players in a good position. Many of the balls to them were, hopeful, not to feet. It was always, if it was to feet, it was their back to goal, never running onto the ball. Limited in terms of what they could do going forward. Plenty of balls going back to defensive line. And the defensive line for London City Lionesses, I'm kind of scratching my head because there's this thing that you see in football, right? Not just women's football, just general football, when a team's under a lot of pressure, or uncertain is the word I'm looking for. I'm scrambling for it, pretty much like they were during the game. They automatically pass it back to the goalkeeper as if to say, I can't hold on to this ball anymore. I need to pass it to someone. So I've moved it onto the goalkeeper. And for some unknown reason, the LCR goalkeeper has the ball at her feet far too often. You know, there's not enough forward play to the midfield, and the midfield don't forward the ball, move the ball forward quickly enough to the forward line. It was chalk and cheese day and night when you watched the two teams play football. And I have to be surprised from the performance that I saw at the weekend against Sheffield United. I'm really surprised that London City Lionesses went away from home and beat Charlton. And if they can do that on the road, then there's something missing. There's something there, obviously, in terms of what they can do. But in this fixture, there was very little change. I mean, it was vast improvement in the second half. And I say vast, considering what went before, it was vast. But Sheffield United, as I've said, they were really comfortable and confident performers on the day. Too many offside calls, not enough forward play going from the midfield, and just uncertainty. And yeah, I don't know. It, that win last week really, really helped them in terms of where they are in the league. And fantastic for Sheffield United on the road. Their first goal, great movement. You know, great movement, cut inside, shot towards goal, almost cleared by the defender, but they went to kick it away with their most favoured foot because they're predominantly one-footed on that side, and they were facing a particular way, and it hit them, and it spun into the goal, and it was just one of those moments that you think, wow, it's really not going to go our way today, and. Yeah, very indicative of what we've seen before and what I've seen before when I've seen them play. They are a team that has the ability of, at times to play good football, but it's sporadic. It's not always there, and you know it's moments. Great goal for the substitute who came off the bench, which showed a lot of up and at 'em, as they would like to say, from Lindstrom, a teenager, really, really good. Own goal for McCandy, as I mentioned, for Sheffield, and then Goodwin, who actually I believe went off as well, but injured at half time. Was an injury, so I hope she's okay. But for Sheffield United, really good, really, really good performance from them. Standout players, and I like to do standout players. I mean, Lucy Fitzgerald, who reached 100. 100 appearances for LCL, always tries her best and is LCL through and through. Carter, who's just her touch and vision is always fantastic. You know, I've got to say, those two always stand out when I watch them play. And yeah, and I'll stop there. For Sheffield United, Molly Graham, wow. Molly Graham, Tara Bourne, God, and Newsham. Good, solid unit. Good, solid unit defending. Know what they're meant to do. Sophie Hayward, real pain. A real pain for, and Rayner as well, real pain for LCL. Just didn't give them much at all. Really good performance from Sheffield United. On the road, and yeah, really good. Anyway, we'll move away from that and the championship, and just look at the table very, very quickly because we, you know, it is what it is in terms of where the teams are at the moment. Sunderland at the top, in second place, Crystal Palace just by a point, but significant goal difference in their favour. Third place, Southampton, Charlton fourth. Same points, 36. Behind them, fifth is Birmingham with 33. And then we've got Sheffield United on 29 in sixth place. Blackburn Rovers, seventh place, same number, points 29. London City Lionesses in eighth place, 22. And Durham, ninth with 20. Reading, 18. Lewes and 16. And Watford all the way down at the bottom of 12. It's looking not very good for Watford at the moment, and in terms of anything right up to eighth position, who knows? Anything, it can all change very, very quickly. There we are for the Barclays Women's Championships roundup, and we're going to get into other bits just after this.
Seen any good films lately?
So the WSL fixtures of the last round of games this Easter weekend just passed, we saw some interesting scores and results in the chase, title chase, and the relegation fight going on. Aston Villa, let's start there. Aston Villa at home, scoring two goals against their visitors, who scored two goals. Leicester City, Leon and Daly for Aston Villa, and it looks like Momiki and Tierney for Leicester. Good all-round game for the visitors. Aston Villa still trying to get into their groove this season. It's been really difficult for them, considering the number of injuries they've had. It's not necessarily been their best season, considering how well they played last year. Away from them, Liverpool at home against Manchester City, who are in absolutely blistering form. Fantastic football. If you haven't seen the goals, please do look them up, look out for them online. They're there if you do the Google search. Liverpool will probably think that this wasn't their best showing in terms of their WSL performance overall in the league, only scoring one goal, and it's been given as an own goal despite a fantastic strike towards goal. Kiera Keaton getting that one for them, for Liverpool. But in terms of for them going forward, Lauren Hemp, Jess Park, who was absolutely phenomenal, and Khadija Shaw again. Please, people, give this player the props that she deserves. Shaw is on fire. Manchester City doing wonders while Chelsea were elsewhere, playing Arsenal in the Conti Cup. Another fixture in the WSL, Manchester United, the obligatory 3 points for them at home against the visitors, Everton. Four goals for Manchester United. Turner, Tooney, and Galton, the old school stalwarts on the score sheet for Manchester United. The fans will be happy about that. Everton, with only the one goal for them, not good in terms of how they've been this season. West Ham and Brighton, nil-nil. Nil-nil. West Ham and Brighton, nil-nil. In terms of the table, Arsenal and Chelsea were doing battle in the Conti Cup. In terms of the table, Manchester City's victory pushes them to the top of the table. Goal difference, plus one in their favour. Chelsea with one game in hand to play, considering their weekend. They'll be looking forward to getting back to the WSL and trying to take over, leapfrog Manchester City at the top of the table there. Arsenal in third because they weren't playing, 37 points. Manchester United in fourth, leapfrogging Liverpool, who had a temporary position in fourth, but they're back in fifth after that defeat with 29 points. Tottenham with 25, Villa with 20, Brighton 18, Leicester City 17 points. Everton with 15, West Ham with 13, and pushing up the pile right at the bottom, Bristol City, bound for a return to the Barclays Women's Championship. We warmly welcome you ahead of that time. It's not been great for them. That's the league table as it is in terms of the WSL. Now, away from that, there was a small thing this weekend with the Conti Cup. Game between Arsenal and Chelsea. Arsenal will come out victorious, but there's a lot of talk afterwards with regards to the coming together between the two managers. And apparently, Emma Hayes, didn't like the male aggression on the side of the pitch by the Arsenal manager, and making it quite clear this was not acceptable following her team's defeat to a very, very late goal. What can be said about that? Managers don't want to lose. They don't like seeing their team lose. They don't like the possibility of silverware slipping away from them. But this is what's happened. I'm for one, I've always struggled sometimes being a man watching women's football. I always struggle sometimes when I see that there are men managing in the women's game, considering how, let's just say, narrow-minded male football supporters have been over the years when it comes to women in sport, that there are men that are actually able to get a manager's job in the women's game. I just thought that, you know, it would be female managers managing the women's game, coaches, head coaches, and if men were involved in any way, shape, or form, they may be the assistant, they may be part of the coaching staff, maybe goalkeeper, a coach, exactly, throwing coach, set piece coach, you know. So I'm always surprised, and this is not a slight on the Arsenal manager at all, but male aggression in football is something that has been happening for a long time. It isn't just in the women's game, it's global. It's global. And I've seen comments where individuals have said that, you know, Emma Hayes should be fined because of her reaction. And if it was in the man's game, you know, what would be, you know, people be asking for? There are all these things. And whether they're valid or not, they've been made. What's really interesting is that the comments were made by Emma in terms of what was deemed unacceptable from her point of view. And if that is valid for her, that is valid. Where does the game go going forward? I mean, the question beyond the incident is that, you know, let's just say it's not a balanced conversation when it comes to football. Let's just say that this level of equality where men are able to manage or be the head coach in women's football, no one questions it. There was a lot of talk about women in men's football, even if it was just in a referee or assistant referee. You know, everyone's like, oh, we're not sure whether they can. Can a woman manage in the women, the men's game? Is it possible? We're not sure. But in the women's game, it seems like, you know, that's just standard. We accept it and acceptable. Or say we, there may be some who are opposed to it and they have their reasons to be opposed to it. But could it be a case where, you know, you just say, look, the women's game is still growing so that there is no male aggression or increased level of testosterone on the touchline that you think that we don't need that or is not needed? Could there be, you know, head coaches who are women in the women's game? Could it be that maybe that's going to be something in the future? Maybe there's conversations taking place behind closed doors. We don't know, but it is something that can be discussed because in men's sport, when it comes to men's football, the very notion of a woman managing the men's team, you know, the uproar, the waves of hands up in the air, people throwing papers and think, oh, this can't happen. So I understand Emma's point of view. I understand her comments. Yeah, I think every right to make it. If she believes that something is unacceptable, then she can say it's unacceptable. You know, it's that simple. Whether or not you believe that she acted unprofessionally, and some have said that she's a sore loser or the Chelsea team or so, regardless, those are the comments she made. And Emma is no fool. She will know exactly what she said and why she said it. And if something was unacceptable to her, then there is a reason that it was. And beyond that moment, which a lot of people are talking about after the game, it is something to consider going forward. Should there be just female head coaches in the women's game? Not to say that men can't be involved, but in terms of those that are taking the limelight, being involved with making decisions and player selection, etc., it really is important. And it leads into the issue around managers having inappropriate relationships with players. It leads into some of the things that have been discussed with a particular manager being relieved of his duties following a club disciplinary in terms of inappropriate relations. You know, and someone will think like, why are you saying that? Is it your right to say that? Well, it's not so much it's my right. There's something that's been happening in women's football where some men have been sacked because or sacked or relieved of their duty because of allegations, investigations, as to inappropriate relationships with their playing staff. Now, this wouldn't necessarily happen in the men's game. You know, it wouldn't happen in the men's game, but it is something that has been discussed quite frequently and openly. On social media, behind closed doors, about what is acceptable and not acceptable. And I'm baffled, really, sometimes when it comes to this not being picked up sooner. I'm baffled as to why there are male head coaches in the women's game. Because if this is something that can happen, right? If this is something that can happen, why are they even in the position anyway? And I know people say it's on merit. It's on merit. But even with it on merit, there is the possibility that things might go wrong. And if you're going to employ a male head coach as a club in the women's game, then you have to be really on guard, constantly on guard in terms of the safeguarding aspect in relation to the players. Now, the club who recently relieved their head coach is Leicester. Willie Kirk, as it has been in on their social media, has been relieved or dismissed from his position, and that was in the week. And it make it really clear in terms of a breach in terms of team's code of conduct in relation to his position, and it left him untenable. Now, you have to question yourself if you're a head coach in the women's game as a man, that if you were going to fall into false sense of privilege. I'm not going to use that word privilege as to what is acceptable in your day-to-day business as someone who's responsible for the safety of others and their professional duties on and off the pitch. Going forward, and this is why I mentioned about should there be like just female head coaches. Going forward, this is a really serious thing. It's okay to have safeguarding measures in place. It's okay to have it. But to have two male head coaches be removed from their posts within the space of the same season, some will say it is a good thing because it means the safeguarding measures are in place, but some will also say that it's not a good thing that there have been two, because it's too many, really. It's too many. And where do you go from there? If you have two, you should have none. There shouldn't be any incidents of this taking place at all. What's going to happen? I don't know. You know, clubs have a real serious discussion to have between themselves and about how they plan to go forward in relation to player safety, in terms of in growing the game, the image of the game that they want to put forward, and what's acceptable at a professional level, not even so much a professional level, almost human level, what's acceptable. You know, if you are charged with looking out for individuals and you go across the line and you get in the you become emotionally involved in a relationship with one of your players, and you've breached everything in terms of your probably your contract, but just the club rules as to what is permitted or not. And it really shouldn't happen. It just really should not happen at all. And it has. Who knows what's going to happen next? But I worry, and it's the word I use, I worry for any male head coach in women's football who isn't taking this news seriously and doesn't check themselves, or in a sense that they have individuals on their staff that says, you know, there are certain things we should and we shouldn't do, we can and we cannot do, and that constant vigilance around safeguarding isn't pressed home at every moment of the season. You know, really, it really is important. I have no idea how. It's not to say you solve this. It's not even a case of question of solving anything. It's preventing. You know, to solve means it's too late. You have to prevent. You have to risk assess the possibilities of something going wrong. And when those clubs made those appointments, they didn't risk assess. And not just from the manager stroke head coach's point of view, but from the player's point of view as well. And not to say that the players have done anything wrong, but the message needs to go out to everyone in every club, as to what's acceptable or not, and how often it does. Does that is a question we don't know. Anyway, that's it for this round of On and Off the Pitch podcast. Until the next one, laters.